Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hi guys, and welcome to episode 42 of Hashtag No Filter. Today's guest is Rachel Tenenbaum, and Rachel is a transformational coach, a facilitator, speaker, and she specializes in leadership development and personal development, and she is kind of brilliant. She is super insightful. And the main topic we talk about on today's episode is self-love, or as Rachel puts it, loving of the self. And we talk a lot about that and personal development. We touch on manifestation. But the main topic is self-love and the importance of it, how we all could really train that muscle a bit more in each of us. And it's a really great episode, very insightful, a lot of great takeaways, a lot of quotes. Like I told her when we were doing the episode, I'm like, God, there are a lot of good quotes in this episode. I need to because I like to make Instagram graphics of some of the quotes depending on the episode. And I have so many I want to make from her. A lot of great information. She's so authentic and real and is really great at what she does. You know, there's people who are put on this earth to do something, to do what they're doing. She was put on this earth to be a coach and to do the work she is doing. And I'm really excited to have her on, and I think you're going to love it. So without further ado, here is Rachel Tenenbaum and episode 42 of Hashtag No Filter. Welcome, Rachel. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Delighted to be here with you.
Thank you for being here. I feel like this has been a long time coming. We've talked about it.
Yes.
And we have a date, and now we're here. So we're drinking our Prosecco and your juice. It's a juice situation.
Smoothie. It's lunchtime. It's a late lunchtime situation.
There's a
yummy
smoothie.
Liquid situation.
It's a liquid thing. Something's going on.
We got sparkling water.
Okay. So first, let's start. Tell everyone who you are, a little background, synopsis of your life, and how you got here today. I know that's a loaded kind of thing.
Yeah, it is. I mean, I feel like that could probably take the entire time. But in brief, my name is Rachel Tenenbaum, and I am a personal development and leadership development coach, speaker and facilitator. And how did I get here? There's so many ways to answer that, but I would say the shortest but also most real answer is that probably about starting 6-7 years ago when my father passed, it had me look at my life in a very, very serious way. Mm-hmm. I was living in New York, I had a great job. Everything was quote unquote picture perfect, but I was not happy. Mm. And it had me really reflect and think about what did I want for my life? God forbid anything were to happen to me, right? Mm. How did I want to have lived my life? Mm-hmm. How did I want to live the next year if I only had a year? Yeah. How did I want to live the next 20 years? And knowing that time was precious on a completely different level, and knowing where my father was when he passed and how I wanted to be when I passed, it really made me take pause. Mm-hmm. And in that, I realized, okay, I'm not happy. Is it just because is more money going to make me happy? No. What is it? And it was, I wasn't living out certain dreams that I'd always wanted for myself. And since I was a kid, I wanted to be a pediatric oncologist. I wanted to be a child cancer doctor.
Wow.
You got to get into medicine and into sciences, and you got to be okay with dissecting a bunch of animals if you want that.
You didn't like that part.
No.
Did you go to med school?
No. Just in high school. Yeah, I just really didn't like that.
In
I was like,
science lab.
I guess, I love physics, but that doesn't really help for oncology.
Right, right.
So, little things took me off my path, and I had a business in jewelry design and, yep. you know, with my sister when I was in high school, that was, you know, moderately successful. So like I kind of went the art history path. That's the intellectual path behind like design, right?
Yeah.
And then I got a master's in the business of art, and it just slowly, I wanted to start an art foundation, but then I needed more skills, or I just needed more time to know more people. And I slowly deviated from what ultimately the core was, just something that would empower people, right? Mm-hmm. Like I wanted to be a pediatric oncologist, really, because I wanted to be a doctor that really cared, that could hold a different type of space, that wouldn't just be clinical, that would see the whole person, right? And that's what I get to do today.
Yeah.
Right? I made a huge pivot. And
huge, because this was from jewelry. You were working in the jewelry industry.
I was working in the jewelry industry for a really big design house. It was a great job, and my soul wasn't satisfied. And now it is. And so for a number of reasons, I feel that leadership development is hugely important. Mm-hmm. It's not only a domino effect, but a butterfly effect.
Yeah.
Because you're not only impacting the lives of people that work for you, but in your own life, but it reverberates out into their families. It reverberates out into how they show up in the world, in both the positive and the negative ways, right?
Yeah.
Wherever the leadership falls.
Yeah.
And I believe that we are all leaders, right? Even if you are not in a leadership role, you are a leader of yourself. And
right.
the moment that you step into that, the moment that you say, I am a leader and I'm a leader of my own life, and how would I lead my life, and start asking the hard questions, the more you get to take control. And for me, I don't see it as a control issue, but it's a consciousness. It's a,
right.
it's a directedness. And that takes work.
Yeah. A lot of work.
It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of work to look at your reactive tendencies, the things that pop up that get in the way. And
you don't want to, and at least for me, like over the years of like, you know, the self-development journey, which is, I know, till forever, till the day you die, right?
Exactly.
It's a constant evolution.
It's a journey.
But it's hard to see, like, it's hard to admit your flaw. Like, it's hard to admit you're down. What am I trying to say? Like, it's hard to say, like, wow, I do need to work on that. Because it makes you feel, for me at least, it's made me, oh shit, I do have to deal with that.
Absolutely. No, and it's both. So it depends upon the perspective that you're coming from, right? And this leans into part of what we're, you know, what we wanted to chat about today. But when you come from like, oh, I know this is no filter, so I guess
go for it.
But like, oh fuck, like, oh fuck, like that exists. It's like, no, I'd rather just shut that Pandora box because I don't even want to look at it.
Yes, you want to ignore it completely.
Exactly. You can ignore it, but then it's going to actually rule your life, right?
Right.
And I love Carl Jung. He has a phenomenal quote
I know.
That says, until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you will call it fate.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
And so, that is good.
Yeah. Until you make the unconscious conscious, it will direct your life and you'll call it fate.
Like it's because I was just about to say it and repeating it back, but it's really, even if you're not consciously thinking about it, it's there and it's going to like almost like nag at you, right?
So you think that you close that box and you're not going to deal with it and you're going to put it underneath, you know, the bed.
Right.
But it's going to impact your dreams. It's going to impact your ways of being. It's always there.
Yeah.
So whether you admit it or you don't admit it, it's always in the space. And it's going to direct your life and you're going to call it fate. It's going to impact, and it's just going to be this noise in the background. And so for me, it's okay. Whether you're like, we're looking at leadership development or personal development. I mean, on so many levels, they're synonymous, right? They're very different, but they're also very synonymous.
Yeah.
Because if you improve yourself as a leader, you're improving yourself.
Of course. Personal, right.
Like, you know, vice versa. But if you come from a place where you wholly love yourself, and you say, okay, like shit's arising, I don't like it. It also opens doorways to freedom, because if you're willing to look and to dive into that, if you're willing to no longer just close the box and pretend like you're closing a box because you're not actually closing it, it points to things that are important to you. It points to things that have held you back in the past.
Yeah.
It points to a realm of possibility as you clear that out of the way.
Right.
And it ultimately creates freedom.
Right. In terms of self-love, which is one of the main things we want to talk about. And it's such a hot, I hate saying that because it should just be always, but right now I feel like it's such a buzz thing, like this wellness world, right? Like I feel like it's self-love. So what, I mean, many people, there are probably a million answers to this, but why is self-love so important? And if you don't feel like you love yourself, what are the steps you take? Like, let's just start talking about self-love. Why is it so important?
Okay. So, and I want to be very clear, because I feel like a lot of self-love today is talked about as like self-love, go take a bath when mm-hmm. you need a bath and go get a manicure. And, you know, if we're talking to like the women
self-care.
Out there,
self-care, like, right.
Exactly. It gets very, very confused. And so I've switched the terminology to love of self.
I love that. I love
right?
that.
Mm-hmm. You love another, you love yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And so for me and how I define it, it is loving yourself as you would love another.
Mm-hmm.
Loving yourself unconditionally as you would love a partner, and which is why you're able to be with their annoyances. But mm-hmm. more importantly, like loving yourself as you would love a child.
Mm-hmm.
So I always use this analogy, but when a child is born, and mm-hmm. even before it's born, you're yeah. like, you're in love with that child.
Yeah.
And
I say it as if I know, but yes,
I know, exactly.
I imagine.
Right. And you and I both, but when I have nephews and
exactly same,
you hold that child in your arms for the first time and you just love that mm-hmm. being.
You don't know it.
You don't know it. You don't know how annoying it's going to be,
right.
and, you know, and as a mother, like you love it even more, even though you are dealing with it's crying and
right.
it's pooping everywhere.
Right.
Right. And having to clean his diaper all the time. Mm-hmm. But you love it. You're not right. waiting to decide and say, let me see, do you only poop once a day? And if you only poop once a day, and if I only have to clean you up once a day,
then I'll love you.
Right?
No, it's an unconditional
love.
From the start.
Exactly. Right, right. And then when that baby's walking, it's not, oh, you idiot, you can't get up your first time. What's wrong with you? It's
right.
like, you stood. That's
right. Amazing.
Huge.
Right.
It's amazing.
Right.
Like, oh my goodness. And you fell. It's okay. And you sit there and you're like, I love you and I'm going to watch you.
Right.
100 times and be in awe and amazement. And it's that love that encourages that child to keep trying.
Right. But to yourself, you don't say, oh, it's okay. It's okay.
You're like, you idiot.
Right.
You fell.
Right.
What's wrong with you?
So how does that come to be? Because think of it, if we're born with whoever our parent is loving us unconditionally, at what point in life does it get murky? Like where we don't start loving ourselves? Like, why does that happen? Or like, not that you necessarily know that answer.
Well.
But like, why, like what, at what point?
It happens at day 10,000. No.
But I'm sure it's through, I imagine like the middle school years, the yucky teenage years. Like, I don't, like, why does that happen? Why don't we just all love ourselves?
So I'm going to answer in the best of my ability.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's complicated. I think it's in part because here's the thing. Our parents love us unconditionally.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, and I feel like I'm getting into a little bit of not dicey, but not provocative. I'm not sure what the word is I'm looking for. It'll come to me.
Something that might
yeah,
ruffle feathers.
Exactly. But our parents also have their own issues.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And like, how far do I want to go? I'll go here. So, and it's an example that I do use. I love my father dearly.
Yep.
Right. He did the very best he could. But he told me one time in an argument that the world was going to make me pay for who I was. Right. Mm. And I was 13 years old, very impressionable. And parents were going through a divorce and I don't want to say he made me feel like crap about myself, because now where I come from, it's like only I can allow that to happen,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
The words, I can either take them in or
yep.
not take them in. But at that time when I didn't
yeah.
know better, right? This person that I loved told me that the world was going to make me pay for who I was. And so there's so many levels to that. One level, the very surface level is, okay, his words had so much power
mm-hmm.
that I took them on and I made them reality, right? That
yeah.
was my reality. And so whether I realized it or not, for such a long time, I was always looking at the world to make me pay for any little mistake that I was making.
Right. Right?
And I was always trying to prove that I was good enough.
Because that's what you learned. I mean,
that's exactly. And then
right.
on a deeper level, right? Which I only took me a while to realize this.
Yeah.
But that's very likely. I don't get to have this conversation, but based on him and everything I know, it's like, that's probably how he felt about the world.
Right.
That was his reality.
He's projecting.
His mm-hmm, reality that mm-hmm. the world made him pay for things that he did.
Right.
When that's not even truth, but it's like somehow also maybe passed
yep.
down from his mother.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And so now he's passed it down to me and I've taken that on as my own. Right.
Right.
So did our parents love us unconditionally? Yes. But did they also have their own stuff that
of
then we've
course.
Also probably
yeah.
taken
then,
on and
yep.
taken ownership of? Absolutely.
And that's when
right?
it can start.
And mm-hmm. that's... We're influenced, right?
Yeah.
And to me, that leads into a big part of personal development in general is teasing apart what belongs to others and what belongs to you. Like, as you get to do this work, as you love yourself and you say, okay, I love myself and like coming from this place of love, right? Yeah. We've talked about this, but so often people, I had a friend once who was like, don't you have to get to know yourself first before you love yourself? And I say, no, because if you start with love, then you're willing to look. You're willing to look in the hard places. Otherwise, you're going to say, that's a reason why I'm not worth loving. That's a reason why I'm not worth loving. If you're waiting first to decide if you're worth falling in love with, right? So if you come from this place like you would with a child that says, I'm going to love you unconditionally, no matter how you shit at the age of 30-something or like whatever happens, whatever it is, right? I'm going to love you unconditionally. You're then willing to look. Because it's the same thing when a child's 15 years old and they make a mistake. It's like, hey, you messed up. I love you. Let's look at what worked, what didn't work. Let's learn from it. When we do that to ourselves, it's okay. This stuff isn't working. Let's also look at what belongs to you, what doesn't belong to
right.
you. It's the choice for me to love myself that enabled me to go even deeper and say, oh my God, that's like actually not mine.
Right.
I've been living for so long with this unconscious belief that the world was going to make me pay for who I was. It's like the words were powerful. And I always was like, my father said this like mean thing to me, but that like rooted into my soul.
I'm sure.
But that not only was it just words that were powerful, but it was also, it was his stuff that I took on as mine.
Right.
And by being able to be willing to look, I get to clear that out of the way.
Yeah. But not at 13. You couldn't do that at 13.
No.
Right. But as you get older, it...
As you get older, and if you're willing to look...
If you're willing
to,
right.
You get to clear away stuff that doesn't belong to you. I see it as like, we're born, and we're born into these beautiful glass cars.
Right. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
And our light shines brightly, and everybody's looking at the baby like, they're so bright, and the possibilities are endless, and this is like, they're going to do whatever they want in the world. They're so smart, 3 years old. Have you heard what he's able to say and do? Like, so brilliant, right? But as we go through life, both through our own experiences, but also through the fears of others, right? Fears surface, whether it's our parents, whether it's society, whether it is peers and what they've taken on, whether it is mentors, teachers, bosses, right? It's like they're driving defensively in fear and throwing shit at our car, right?
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, it's like you've been driving for a really long time, never cleaning the windshields. You now have a thick layer on the windshield, and it's very difficult to see.
Well, how do you even navigate that? How do you get...
You can't. There's like cracks, and you're like trying to look through the cracks. And that's how you're operating in life.
Yeah.
And getting to know yourself and doing that work is, for me, like cleaning that windshield.
Right.
It's putting on water, loosening up the crap, allowing the buzzards to like just fall out of the way, being able to clear so that you can see clearly, you can move with intention.
And it's not an overnight process. I mean, people have to be willing to do the work, right?
Yeah, no, and I think it's a lifetime process.
It is, right. That's what I was going to say. Like, this isn't, it's not like, oh, I'm one and done. Like, I'll see you one, I'll, you know, go to you one or two sessions, I'm done.
Exactly. That would be amazing. I would yes, it would be awesome.
Whether it's with coaching, therapists, psychiatrist, whatever, you can't just like, it's not a one and done thing.
No.
But I feel like so many people are, I don't want to say opposed to it, but even, even as someone I know personally is very resistant to therapy, to coaching, to why would someone be resistant to that? Like what?
Because it's hard.
It's hard. Yeah.
It's hard. It's because we don't talk about, first of all, I feel like there's not this premise of teaching people how to love themselves.
Yeah.
Right. Of, you know, I remember when I was growing up, sometimes my mom talked about the inner child and I was like, squirming in the inner child. But now I get it on a different level of like, okay, really just giving yourself love, sitting in it for a moment. And it sounds so, not woo woo, but sounds so, what is the word?
Kind of, and I know what you're saying. It's not like, it is woo, it's not woo woo like, it's very...
It sounds platitude and like that's something
and
nice.
And it's kind of like awkward. You might feel uncomfortable doing it.
Exactly. Because we're also not taught to love ourselves, right?
Right.
And it's willing to sit with the uncomfortable.
Which is not easy.
No. And I mean, we set up our lives to be comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
We set up our lives in a very... And especially in the society, to be comfortable.
Yep.
And there are little voices inside our head, which, you know, not everybody's aware of, but like we have a lot of voices. You have your mother's voice. You have the, oh, you should be doing this voice.
Yep,
you have the, like the rebel voice. It's
all
like,
the voices.
Fuck this shit. You don't
so how do you know what to listen to?
Right. Because you notice that they're voices and
right,
you
right.
just, you start to name them and you start to look at them and they become players instead of they are you.
Right, right.
Right? When they are you, then you listen to them and you're like, well, this is what my mind's saying, so it must be right.
And versus, the you is the gut, like you're, is that kind of when you say that? Like that's what you should be trusting and listening to,
exactly.
Right?
And it's when you get, when you're able to train yourself or get trained, it's connecting to yourself on it. Like I see it as, there's a great metaphor that's used in some methods of meditation where like you're on the ocean and there's like all the noise on the top of the ocean, but at the very bottom of the ocean and where it's like super still and quiet, right? All the noise can still be going on, but you're not impacted by it because you're in the bottom of the ocean.
Right.
If you're always operating on the surface,
right,
it's really hard to not be taken by all of the different jet skis,
right,
and the waves, that's going on. But if you are able to dive just a little bit deeper, right, and when you are, I'm not gonna say if you are, right, because it takes practice and it takes some work.
But anyone can do it.
Anyone's capable. When you take the time and when you learn to go a bit deeper to get connected to yourself on a much deeper level, it means like also physically aware of your body, noticing, okay, this is happening to my chest or this is happening. Body awareness is a huge part of this. But when you get connected to yourself on a deeper level, you can find stillness and quiet. And it doesn't mean the answer comes right away. It doesn't mean, you know, there's a big predicament in my life right now that has just surfaced. And, you know, I don't know the answer. But I'm also,
eventually it'll come.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm also like, but I'm okay with that. I don't have to figure it out right now. I don't have to be with all the noise around it. I can just sit and wait and see what unfolds.
Right. And then but like when people say, you'll know your gut instinct, you'll know, do you believe that? Like you will just know when the answer comes or it'll just feel a certain way.
Yes. And I feel that, it's like I have a resistance to that because I feel like I'm also thinking of like listeners out there who are like, well, okay, that sounds great. It's like dating people will be like, oh, you know, when you're not looking for it, it'll just happen.
Blah, blah,
and it's like,
right.
It's like, yeah, and I haven't been looking for it forever and it hasn't, you know. But yes, for lack of a better term, you will know because you also trust and love yourself and you're also okay with if you try something and it doesn't work, that's
okay. Right.
You're not. Life isn't about right and wrong decisions. Right. We're on a massive journey.
Forever.
And just noticing your responses to things. And you might take a step and say, I tried that step. That isn't actually what I thought was the response. Now that I've gotten that response, do I want to keep heading down that path or do I not? And you might check in. You don't have to have the full answer.
Right. But life is constant. Decision. I mean, there's constantly going to be decisions and some might not be the right ones in quotes or
right.
wrong.
But if you have done the work to connect to yourself, if you've done the work to connect to your values, right? To what's important to you, if you love yourself throughout the entire process, you can make a mistake, like we said.
Right.
And
it's okay. Sometimes it's better, right? Sometimes it ends up for the best.
I make mistakes all the time.
Yes,
and
same.
Like all the time. And I learn from them.
Right.
Right. And it can be the most well-intentioned.
Right.
But I learn more about how to operate. It helps me navigate even further. It's
right.
like becomes a pivot point instead. It's like,
yes.
Okay, I didn't know where to go, but I did something. And now I know not that direction.
Right.
Now this one.
Right. Almost maybe will give you more clarity. Right.
Exactly.
So if someone is just starting out, let's say on this loving yourself journey, and maybe they haven't been to, you know, haven't worked with a coach, haven't worked with a therapist, can you give like a, how can they start? Like, is it meditation? Like, do you have any like tips you could give right now? Or is it, it's a process? I mean, it depends on the person.
No, I would say yes to both. I'd say meditation is a great place to start. And we have, you know, that requires talking a little bit about meditation because people are like, I'm bad at meditation.
Uh-huh.
Like, I just can't meditate or my mind's too busy. I had a guy friend. I was in Russia with a couple of guy friends and very smart guy. He was like, no, not for me. Tried it. My mind just too active to meditate.
Oh.
And I was like, yep, that's like saying that you're too dirty to take a shower.
Oh my. So did he end up meditating?
He's chewing on it. I don't know if he's meditating
we'll
or not.
Check
I'll
in
see
with
him. Yeah, I'll actually see him next week. So we'll find out.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, and I stole that line from something someplace else.
Yeah.
But it is so true because it is all of that noise, right? It's meditation is the ability to quiet the mind to we, so that we can find that sense of stillness. It's never quiet, right?
I was gonna say, yeah.
People think that like, I'm supposed to find empty space and not think. No, it's you're meditating. You're listening to, you're either connected to a visualization or you're listening to the words coming out of somebody's mouth or you're focusing on your breath.
Right.
Or you're focusing on a mantra and then your mind wanders.
And that's okay.
And you go to a grocery list or a conversation yeah. or a like, that would have been a really good argument or like an Einstein moment.
Right.
And then that's the second stage. The third stage is you're, there's something that says, oh, fuck, I'm not meditating.
Right.
And
right.
then that fourth stage is the actively pulling your brain back to the mm-hmm. present moment. And that's the work. And every time you come back right. to the present moment, A, you come back to a focused place, right? You clear away the clutter. Yeah. Even if it's for half of a second,
right?
That's huge. It's so huge when you're driving on the freeways in Houston mm-hmm. or in New York or any mm-hmm. place else and somebody sideswipes you. You can either be caught up in the rage
yep.
or you can come back to the present moment so that you avoid the next car that swerves into your lane.
Right.
Right.
Right. So it's about, it's not about, yes, it's about quieting the mind, but it's not about not thinking about other things. In fact, it's good if you do because then the work is in pulling yourself back.
Pulling so
it's not saying you can't like you right. can't freak out if it.
Exactly. It's not this rigid process, right?
It's not,
just
right.
It's the same thing. It's like you made a mistake. Oh, okay. That happened. Now let's learn from it, right? Mm-hmm. It's training to be not taken right. by everything. So I have a meditation. I have different meditations that I do, but I have a meditation that I did. We'll use the one that I used with a client today.
Yeah.
And just guiding them through first connecting to their heart and visualizing a flame at the very base of the heart. And with every breath, taking a deep inhale, a nice long exhale. With every breath, slowly just watching that flame grow and expand.
Right.
And just connecting to that and watching that.
Like you gave him a focal point. You gave him something to focus on. Right.
Right. And it was just that light that was within. And what came out of that was all the noise died away.
Yeah.
All of the insecurity, all the rest of it really just seemed like noise.
Yeah.
Because it's all it is.
Right.
And compassion, right? There's all this talk about self-compassion, but really when you're compassionate towards another, like what would you say? So then turning that on yourself,
mm-hmm.
what would you say to yourself? This is out there in such a big way, but treating yourself truly mm-hmm. as you would treat a best friend.
Yeah.
But at another level, you can't truly treat a best friend with pure love if you're not purely loving yourself.
Right.
Because that when they do something that you wouldn't like, that you would do, right? If you have yep. some sort of thing that you don't like within you and they do it,
yep.
you're going to react really strongly to it.
Right.
And you're going to shut down.
Right.
Or with a lover, same thing with anybody or with an employee.
Yep.
Right. If they are making a lot of noise in the office and you used to make a lot of noise and that just used to bother you and yeah. like, what's wrong? They're just so inconsiderate and they're not self-aware. Mm-hmm. It's okay. Like you can either be really irritated and right. react to it or you can have compassion and be like, okay, they're not aware. And if they're not aware, right. and if you have compassion for them, you're going to say, hey, I just want to let you know. Are you like able to really come yeah. from a place of love? It doesn't mean it doesn't, you don't look at it. You don't change it. Same thing with yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
But with yourself, like, and this is an example for me because I used to make a lot of noise and not realize it in the office. And my boss used to like really right. get angry with me, right? And whenever I made a noise, I would be like, oh, I fucked up again. Or like, oh my God. Versus like, okay, hey, what's going on? I've got a lot going on right now. I'm not focused. I'm focused on something else.
Right.
And I'm just running around like a chicken with her head cut off.
Right? But the way you would react to yourself is not necessarily how you'd react to a friend, or like you wouldn't yell at your friend probably, right? Like, are you like,
no, but you would feel that agitation
yes,
in your
yeah.
body, and that's still going to have, that's going to be
yes.
that like unconscious that responds to
right.
how you're acting towards somebody else.
Right.
Right. It
exactly.
still, it becomes a dirty filter.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. It's a dirty filter through which we engage in the world.
Yeah.
And if you do the work to clear, to know, it's like, oh, hey, I get really triggered by it. You might even just be able to say, hey, you know, I've noticed I get really triggered by this.
Just noticing it.
Exactly.
And, right. Being aware. Yeah.
So, you know, to what you just said, I would say key things are just noticing, like noticing what triggers you and not making it wrong.
Right.
And just being like, okay, I wonder what that's about. Like curiosity.
Right. Right. Because I had a friend, actually, this is a very recent example. I had a friend who stuff went on, whatever, and the way she didn't like how she reacted to something that happened. And not with me, just she was telling me the story. And she's like, And I was like, but it's okay. You know, I was talking to her about it. And she's like, but I'm just mad at myself. Like, why did I let X, Y, and Z happen? Like, how do you change that mindset? Like, what is it like, look, it's in the past. Don't worry. I mean, how, you know, she was like beating herself up.
Right. Exactly. And that's not loving herself. Right. So instead I would have said to her like, hey, like that really upset you. Like, let's just for a second be with the fact that like, it didn't feel good to you.
Right.
Right. Like give space to it and then say, what was it like understanding, like what was it that triggered you? Right. And understanding all the elements around it, right. Being willing to look, because when you get mad, mm-hmm. it's from a levels of consciousness. So yep. There's like hopelessness is at the very bottom where you're like in bed, you can't get out of bed. You can't see. It's like you're underneath the covers. Then there's fear. And it's mm-hmm. like, you're looking out underneath the covers. There's a little more energy there. Yep. Right. But like, you're like, right. There's more energy and fear. And then there's anger and it's like resistance. Yep. Right. Yeah. But it's, again, it's, you can't see fully. Above that is courage.
Right.
And the courage to say, hey, like, that's not okay. I don't like this, to stand for what you want. Right.
Right.
Maybe there was something where she didn't take a stand for what she wanted.
Right.
And so instead she got angry and then got angry at herself. Right. For how she responded.
Right.
And then she's stuck in the cycle mm-hmm. and just blaming herself instead of looking at the real thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Because anger becomes something that just becomes a distraction.
Got it.
Right.
Right.
And saying, okay, that happened. Like, what would a compassionate person do? What would you say to somebody else? What would you,
like, and is it just, it's okay. Like it is okay.
And allowing them to accept, right? And like, yeah. I can't say what I would say because I'm not with that person
right, at the moment.
Right. And every
situation
yeah. is different, but helping them find compassion and mm-hmm. then being able to look both at, okay, what are other ways? Like what didn't work? What would you have done differently? What would have been a more engaged way
right.
of responding in that situation mm-hmm. that would have honored you? Like clearly some values weren't honored, or clearly right. something happened, right? That felt out of alignment. And then there was a reactive tendency.
Yep. Yep.
And now you've started a cycle.
And
so pulling out of the cycle and then looking at the whole picture.
Right. And going forward, like if something similar were to happen, you have that awareness, right? Exactly. And it should, but it takes time. I mean, I imagine
it takes time. It's building a muscle.
Yeah, it's building a muscle. Right.
Right. It's building a muscle and then it's going to happen again. And then you can either be like, what's wrong with me? Or you can be like, that's annoying. That happened again. And when you go into what's wrong with me, you literally shut down. Your amygdala right. has gone off. You don't have the prefrontal cortex. You don't have access to the rest of your brain to really harness and build new neural pathways and new ways of doing things and new ways of looking at things.
Right.
If that prefrontal cortex is off, if you're in anger, right, you're blocking yourself off.
So you really, like, is this the same thing as or similar to, I'm trying to think, I don't have any specific example, but if you're sad over something or maybe a heartbreak, let's say, is it, do you say like, allow yourself to feel it? Like, don't Absolutely. Push it under the rug. Do not feel it, cry, like do all the things, right? Like,
well, and in a very, I'm going to say also conscious way, like very intentional way.
Yeah.
I'm going to use a small, similar example.
Yeah.
I was a couple of years ago, I had taken some time off, like a day off of work, and that was a big deal for me.
It's like sometime, it's a day.
Took a day off, and so then I took the weekend off. I took a long weekend.
Right.
And it was like really when I was closer to starting.
Yeah.
And so I like really cared about every dollar mm-hmm. that I was spending, and I still do, but I went to out of town and I rented a place to be by the water because my soul needed to be in nature, mm-hmm. and I just knew that. I knew I needed a reset. I'm sitting by the water, and I'm so freaking anxious. And then I'm like, what is wrong with me? And I start beating myself up. I'm like, what's wrong with you? You've taken this time to be in nature and like all you can do is sit here and be anxious. Like, what's wrong with you? Do you need to go be checked by a doctor?
Oh my God. Like
spiraling out. And then it hit me and it was like, maybe I just need to sit with my anxiousness.
And that's okay.
Okay. So it's like, I'm going to try something different. I'm going to make it okay to be anxious right now. So what would I do if I were coaching somebody? I'd say, feel the anxiousness. So it's like, okay, where do I feel in my body? Okay, I feel it all over, but I feel it really in my chest and I feel it in my arms.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to open my arms to this anxiousness as if I were wanting to envelop it in a hug, but just give it the space, mm-hmm. this open, not squeezing hug, but just this open hug, this open space, and just allow it to be and just see what happens. And I really just, I chose to dive into it.
Wow.
And it shifted.
Did it go away? I mean.
Yeah, it dissipated.
crazy.
And it's something, again, I still have to remind myself of.
Right. It's not like automatically.
Years later, but that response time like shortens, right? Sort of like that meditation. Like the more that you pull yourself back to the present moment, the quicker or the shorter the span is between your mind wandering and coming back. It's like, okay, you know, now I'm aware. Oh, okay. I'm really aware of where I feel anxiousness in my body. Mm-hmm. And for the most part, I feel it again. Okay. Just be with it. What is this wanting to tell me? What is this covering up? What feelings is this covering up? What else? What information is here?
Mm-hmm.
And not having to make it a whole thing.
Right.
Just be with it.
Just be with it. That's right. Kind of, you have to, you and can't push it away. It'll get worse, right?
It's going to be like a little baby or a little, I don't know, kid that's like, pay attention to me. Pay attention to me. It's like, knock, knock, pay attention. You're not paying attention to me. Pay attention to me. I'm going to have a temper tantrum now.
Like, that's literally what would happen.
That literally is what happens, right?
Yeah,
don't want to pay attention to heartbreak. And you're like, okay, I'm going to go and drink a lot. And then all of a sudden you have this like massive breakdown.
Yeah.
But it's, you know, you haven't even paid attention. Or you're going to go and date somebody else that isn't right for you either. Because you haven't been with. Like the heartbreak of it.
You haven't
all.
Felt
you're
it.
Just
you
trying
haven't
to cover it up. Right. You're gonna go. You know, there's so many different ways that people numb out from the feelings.
Yep.
And look, that's okay. That again is a comfortable, easy way of doing things. But if we're talking about people that want more for their lives, that want to live the most abundant life, that where they're really being leaders in their life, you can't do that.
You can't. You can't.
And it just won't get you anywhere. It won't get you anything that you actually want.
It feels easy at first to just ignore it.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's a Band-Aid.
It's a Band-Aid. But it's a Band-Aid from the sense that like that Band-Aid won't actually heal, right? Because like some Band-Aids can heal.
Right. But it won't heal.
It's not going to actually heal.
And there's no
shortcut to that.
Oh, exactly. Right. Like you sat and felt, but it also means having the hard conversations, right? And doing like, it would be a lot easier not to have that conversation.
It'd be a lot easier not to. Absolutely.
Right. So it's really, I love that. I love how I wonder if that, now I'm like thinking about myself. I'm like, when I fly, if such an issue is flying, I wonder if I just felt the anxiety, would it just go away? Like would I, you know?
Just be with it and let it be okay. And it might grow, right?
Right.
It's like, okay, now it has space. But it's not resisting. It's that resistance to it.
Yeah.
Just like, okay, I'm going to just feel what it feels like in my body right now. I'm just going to be present to it. I'm not going to I'm feeling the anxiety. What if the plane goes down? Then what if that's going into the story about it.
Yeah.
That's a completely different thing.
Yeah.
Like feeling the heartbreak is like feeling the pain, not woe is me. Like, and I don't mean woe is me.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah.
But it's not. I'm never going to be able to find anybody else.
Like it's
that's going again into the story, which that might feel real, but that is a story. Like you'll very likely find somebody else. Yeah. And if you don't, you can still have an incredible life.
Exactly.
Especially if you've done the work to love yourself because
So that's what it is. That's number one.
And it's like, we want that so much from the rest of the world. We're looking for the world to love us, but we refuse to give that to ourselves. And
before you do that, until you do that.
And if you just give that to yourself, then you love yourself enough to say, oh, no, wait a minute. This is not the right partner for me.
Right.
I'm not going to just marry somebody to be a Band-Aid because they're giving me attention right now.
Right. And because I don't want to be alone.
Exactly. You're marrying somebody because you love yourself and they add to your life. They enhance.
They
are a great partner. They're an amazing fit. You're not creating a codependent relationship.
Yeah.
Which is fine, you know, if that's what you want.
If that's what you
want,
right.
We're talking about, you know, people who really want more, who want to excel. It's more than just excel, right? Because this is about tasting all the flavors, you know, discovering all the incredible fruits that you didn't know existed in life and I see it as a kid, you know, those children, I've seen these amazing, like they're tear jerking YouTube videos of kids that are colorblind and then they're given these glasses and they can see for the first time. And it's like their entire lives have been a mutated couple of colors and now they can actually see
and like had experienced the world like that.
And it's just so rich.
Yeah.
And they're crying. And for me, that's what I want and that's what I fight for everybody is there's so many more colors. There's right. so much more richness. And I have a friend who says to me, like, don't you ever get tired of doing the work?
I don't think you don't get tired.
I don't. I mean, it's hard. And, yeah. you know, sometimes I want to say yes. And I used to, like, I remember once I went to a psychic.
Yeah.
At some point.
We all have.
And she's like, oh, this year is going to be a hard year for you. And you're going to have a lot of warning. And my response is, screw you. I've already had a hard year. I've already had a lot of warning. When am I going to just get to be?
Right.
And now we're always growing.
If right. You have to be.
This is the same. Like, our cells are always changing. We're always changing. Our desires are always changing. Yep. And as we get to know ourselves and love ourselves through that process, then we get to experience so much more, and it becomes richer and more yes. beautiful.
Yes. And everyone wants, and maybe not everyone, but you want the most fulfilling, you want to have the most fulfilling, abundant life, right?
Right.
Like, that's the goal here.
That is the goal. And, yeah. But it doesn't just get handed to you on a platter.
No. Although as lovely as that would be.
Yes. In a lot of ways. But then there's also the fun in it.
And the learning.
There's
and
the beauty of watching yourself yeah. evolve and noticing, you know, like, I almost was late today, right? And because I got boxed in by a car.
Like, literally, you should see the picture. I don't understand how that
I have no idea how the car got so close to mine. It was literally kissing my car, literally. But then didn't scratch it. It was this massive Suburban. And I had to go find out who the owner yeah. was and have it moved. But, you know, in the past, you know, maybe 5 years ago, I would have been really anxious.
Yeah.
Like, oh
yeah.
my God, I'm going to be late. And I just feel bad. And right. like, we've tried forever to like right. schedule this. And right. just like, huh, this is funny. This is annoying. What an idiot.
Who right.
parks like that? And like, and in the past, it would have been like, okay, maybe if I get into the other side of the car, yeah. I can move my own car. But then I would have, there's no way that I could have pulled out from that because right. he literally boxed me in, and I would have tried to squeeze out, and I would have been anxious.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And instead it's like, okay, who do I find?
Right.
And how do I get this fixed? And we got it moved. And I was like, okay. By the way, I might be a couple minutes late,
right.
but Big I'm on deal. My way.
Right,
and
exactly.
I have a really easy funny video breezy. To show you.
It was. I'm like, damn.
Right? I feel like it should be posted on YouTube. Like, we're all breathless. Is it going to scratch the
is
car?
Is it going to scratch the
like,
car?
How did not? How did she? Like,
but
how did she not?
They didn't scratch it.
Didn't scratch it.
No.
Exactly. I was like, I'll just deal with it. And so I have much more capacity, right?
Yeah.
And I would have arrived here harried, even if, you right, know, I had right. gotten it solved, and that wouldn't have done any good.
Right. So it's kind of, but that didn't happen overnight. Because you said a few years ago, you would have reacted differently.
Right. Exactly. And I, you know, it would have been like, oh my God.
Right. And now it's like, okay.
And now it's like, now I get to see the humor in it.
Right. Exactly. That's what it is. It's like, it's a shift in your perspective, right, your exactly. attitude. I mean,
and then I get into, instead of like, he's an asshole, it's like, I also wonder, like, what's going on for him in life? Like, that
right.
must be really hard where
yeah.
he, because, you know, to share with the viewers, he didn't actually come move his car. Somebody else moved his car for him. And
he was too busy.
We were walking down and he was in a physical therapy appointment, and one of the people who ran the physical therapy office was going to move his car. And I'm like, I don't know that you want to be responsible for maybe dinging my car. And her response was, yeah, he wouldn't care. Not that like he wouldn't
right but it's more like
it wasn't like, that he wouldn't care if she dinked my car. It's like he was like I'm not, either way he doesn't care that he pulled in that close to me.
He doesn't give a shit,
right? And for me, I no longer go to what an ass. I go to there's some stuff for him going on,
like having compassion
for him.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean it's okay. It doesn't mean that
not.
I wouldn't go after him, you know, if he had dinked
right,
my car.
Right.
I would do whatever I needed
but
to do.
But having some compassion.
But just having some compassion, well, which just makes the conversation right. and the process easier, not just in general, but also on me.
On you. Yeah, on you. I mean, it's like when you have a rude, you know, it was recently I was at Starbucks and the person, usually they're so lovely at the Starbucks I go to, and they were a nightmare. Like rude, angry. And kindness is so important. I feel, and just be kind.
Yeah.
And they weren't. But then after I left, because at first I'm like, what the fuck? Like, what is your problem? And I left and I'm thinking, they might just be having a really bad day. Like, I have compassion for them. They must have, something might have happened in their life that, you know, and you don't know.
And in the meantime, the only one that's really impacted by that is
right.
you,
right.
who's frustrated and who's being like, what would
right.
idiots.
And then you're like, it's okay.
For the rest of the day. And like, then you then reverberate that out into the world.
Uh-huh, exactly.
Or if you have compassion, right? As you like learn to have compassion for yourself in those moments, you can have compassion for somebody else.
Exactly.
And then you can say, okay, and now you're no longer continuing that cycle.
Yeah.
And your day's a whole hell of a lot better.
Exactly.
And far more clear.
Yeah, exactly. Before we do this rapid fire round, which I do at the end of every podcast, okay, which is like the fun questions. Yeah. Before that, I want to ask you something. I know it's not like totally on the loving yourself and all of that, but it's just something I firmly believe in and have believed in more and more. Do you believe in the power of manifestation and manifesting, like putting it out into the world? Are you a firm believer in that?
Yes. And I can't say that I – and then you reminded me of something that I want to touch on really yeah. quickly, which is what, like, why it's so important to love yourself on a different level.
Yeah.
But so – I'm just bookmarking.
Bookmarking.
That.
Yep.
Yes. And we're coming back to manifestation, right? And to answering that question, it's something that for a very long time I kind of played with.
Yeah.
Like, when does it work? When does it not work? When is it coincidence? When is it, you know, and how do I do this? And I came from it instead of like, I believe in it or I don't. It was a curiosity. Like,
but putting it out there.
But putting it out there. And so I used to actually do this a lot with the trains in New York.
Mm-hmm.
And I would say, okay, I'm going to stand on this platform and the doors are going to stop right in front of me. And that's how I used to play with it. And I would go through periods, especially when I felt more grounded and just not anxious, but just more grounded, where I could go for an entire week 5 times a day, and the trains would just stop right in front of me.
Shut up.
I don't know what the probability of that
is. Right.
Like, I'd really like to calculate what the probability of that is. Like, I can there's the probability of your being born, right, and how crazy that is. Like, I'd like to create the probability. Like, the probability of the doors opening up in front of you one time.
But
is,
I mean, isn't
is
that rare. Interesting?
But like,
I do believe in what you put out there. So, I do.
And I was just, and it's so crazy. I was just on a trip with a bunch of girlfriends and so many places we were told we wouldn't be able to get into. And we were just like, we're going to get into it. It was like, okay, we're just going to put out there that it's going to somehow work out. We drive to this place and, you know, as told, we get there, we send 2 of the 4 girls in and, normally it would have been 2 different girls, but for some reason it was these 2 girls that went in. And, you know, at first they're told, yep, you have to consume $60 a person each to be here. And there was 4 of us.
Right.
So that would have been $240 worth of stuff. And 2 minutes later, they're like having the conversation. We're in Tulum. One of the girls is standing there and this guy walks up who works there and is like, oh my God, Karina, what are you doing here?
They actually knew each other?
They actually knew each other. You're not paying to come in here.
Shut up.
Like, come, we're going to give you the best seats on the beach. Like, I'm going to take care of you.
Oh,
like,
my God.
He's like, oh, and I like work at all these places. They have not seen each other since high school.
Oh, my God.
And that would have just been one coincidence, but we kept having like and kind coincidences throughout the entire trip.
Are you serious?
So it's just, you know, when we continue to play and put these things out there, and I feel like I'm not an expert on how to manifest, right? This is something that, again, I feel like I play with.
Right.
And I encourage people to play with it, right? You can't come from an anxious place. You can't come from
I need this. And having no expectations is important,
expectations. It's just like a, when I pulled in today, I was like, there's going to be an easy parking spot. And there was.
There was? Because sometimes there's not here.
Yeah. And I was like, it was super easy. And I was like, and I also just put in the midst of everything that was going on.
Yeah.
I was like, I'm going to still get there on time. And I did. I actually got here at 2:28.
Yeah, exactly.
And sat in the car for a second and then, you know.
And then went in. Yeah.
Came in.
I mean, it's not like a not believer, but it's just you play with it. You stay curious about it.
Yeah. And I would say there's a, you like buy in, like just why not believe? Why not? Like, what do you have to lose?
Right. Like create the mood board if you want. Why not?
And it is so crazy because it doesn't mean that like you just, create the mood board, like put it out there, visualize it. Because then you start thinking about, oh, how can I create that? Because there's a part where you are a co-creator in it. And there's a part where, the universe just
Wow, the Tulum, that's crazy. Okay. It's,
and then there is more, but yeah.
Go, I don't want you to forget the bookmarking of self-love, whatever you're going
to
say.
So here's what I'll have to say. Part of why it's so important to do this work isn't just because we want more for ourselves.
Right.
It's also because we want more for our kids.
Mm. Even if you don't have kids.
If you don't have kids, right? But we want more for the world around us.
Right.
And if you don't do the work, then you're going to be another person that is operating in the world. And I don't mean this in like a shaming way, right? No. But just like know that you're operating the world through a dirty filter. Mm. And as you're driving, some of the crap is going to stick onto other people's cars. Mm-hmm. And just like my father didn't know, mm-hmm. right? He had no, like that was his reality. Yep. He didn't realize that that was a belief he had that he didn't need to
right.
put on me. You know, when we do that, we get to know, okay, what's ours, what's not ours. And yeah, we might still screw up our kids or, you know, other right. people. But we can also then go back and take ownership and say, you know that
exactly.
thing? I really shouldn't have said that. And I'm really sorry about that.
Yeah. It's self-awareness, right? It's being...
I messed up this weekend with a friend and I got triggered around something and
yeah.
came over and I was like, hey, is everything okay? And I was just like, kind of pushed her away.
Yeah.
I had to go back and say, hey, like, first of all, yeah, you were being really annoying.
Yeah.
And drunk.
And right, whatever. Right, right.
And I don't like how I responded to that.
Mm-hmm.
And instead of just, what's wrong with me? She's not going to like me.
Right.
Or like, I've ruined our friendship. Or like going into some spiral yeah. of what's wrong with me. Just, hey, I'm human. I yeah. had a reaction. What were the elements that caused me to react that way?
Right.
I was able to look at it. And then I was also able to articulate that to her and say, mm-hmm. hey, these are the other things that were going on in the background.
Mm-hmm.
This was the noise. It doesn't make it okay. I don't mean it as an excuse. It's something for me to look at.
Mm-hmm.
And also at the same time, like this is what, not like I'd like you to take ownership over, but like this is what I wasn't okay with.
Yeah.
And I'm really sorry because yeah. my sort of pushing you away must not have felt good.
See, I love communicating you. And being exactly. honest and aware.
And I love you and I care about you and no one deserves to feel that way.
And it was all fine. I mean.
Oh, yeah. And like nothing, now we're closer. Now we love each other.
Right, right, it's right, like, right.
But it could have created.
Yes.
Because she was really pissed off at me the next day. Mm-hmm. Right. And but being willing to have that conversation and have compassion for myself, mm-hmm. have compassion for her. And but otherwise, if I haven't done the work to love myself, I wouldn't have been able to and to look at my own stuff.
Yeah.
I would have just been like,
you wouldn't have seen
that. I would have just been like, I can't believe that she behaved that
right.
way.
And totally
I'm totally right in all the reasons why I pushed her away and end of story.
Yeah. 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 Wow. You have such good stories to back everything up. So it just paints a clearer picture of it all. Experience. Life.
I don't know. I think I live every moment as looking, you know, I do. It is my job, right? Like this is what I do with my clients. So I have to do the work myself.
Right.
And I really love all of these moments, no matter how hard they are, because it's so fun to watch myself grow, to notice how I was able to have that conversation.
Right.
And create a different type of relationship.
Yes.
And that is what matters. I want richer relationships.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And I also don't want somebody feeling inadequate mm-hmm. or feeling like I, you know, it's just feeling like I felt a certain way about them when that's not the case.
When that's right? Exactly.
Or that I had a different intention than I did or making assumptions. I just always want to clear the space as much as possible.
Yeah. But it all comes down to loving yourself.
Yes.
Right?
It's foundational. And when I do leadership work, it's something that I tell all clients. And you know, it, no matter who you are, whether you're CEO of a company,
mm-hmm.
if you might have like done some great work to get to where you mm-hmm. are, but your potential is so far beyond that. And if you don't love yourself, mm-hmm. then how you are to others, right? It's going to keep you small, or it's going to have you lose the company, or it's going to have such a reverberated impact.
Yep.
And when you do look at the reactive tendencies and make those okay. And just be like, okay, this is here for some reason.
Right.
Let's look at it. Let's look at what works. Let's look at what doesn't work. Let's look at what like I can start to shift and change and just be aware of. Know that this is a process. It won't change overnight. It takes patience.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And love is patient.
Exactly. Exactly. But
love
it is doing the work.
Yeah. Love isn't, I need this tomorrow now. It's
right.
like, love is like, okay, I'm here.
Right, exactly. I love that. Love, love. I love that. Before we fully wrap up, there's so much goodness in this episode. Aww. I feel like there's so many things, like, for episodes, I try to make, like, you know, a quote or thing. I feel like there's so many good pieces, like so many nuggets. I'm going to have to make multiples. Anyway, okay, before we wrap up, though, first thing that comes to your mind, if someone played you in a movie, who would it be?
Somebody played me in a movie. Oh, I'm so bad with this. I don't know.
Or someone actors, either actors. Maybe people think you look like, or your aura, you know, who could do a good job playing
you. I've been told since growing up, I don't know if this is the case anymore, who else have I been told? I've been told Jennifer Aniston before,
your hair, and your face.
Since I was a kid, since like Friends.
I could see that.
And then there was another one. That's funny.
Someone had my podcast before was also told that as well.
That's funny. There's another one, but I can't remember who, and I liked the other one.
I like the idea of Jennifer
Aniston. Who I was told recently, and I took it as the, I love this compliment.
Yeah.
New York Shore with the Jewish girl who's the comedian.
Wait, who?
The new New York show, the comedian. The woman that's a comedian. She's like growing up in the, like, in the 1950s.
Oh, Netflix. Maisel?
Yes.
Mrs. Maisel. I still haven't watched it.
Oh my goodness. Somebody told me that I remind them of her.
Oh my, well now I have to go watch it. Oh, that's cool. Okay.
The way that they said it was very sweet. It's like, oh, you're this attractive person that's going to stand on stage and you don't really know what she's going to have anything to say. Yes. And then she starts speaking and everything comes out of your mouth. And I was, you know, is for her, is either funny or true or just whatever, on target. Right. And I was like, I will take that.
That's great. Okay. I love that. So if one of those people played you in the movie, what would the title be or what would the premise be of it?
I would say it's a combination between loving yourself, right? Yeah. And like the journey and all the freaking hysterical things that happen along the way.
Like,
right?
It'd be like, funny and
it would be funny. Yeah, it would be funny because you have to have humor.
You have
in
to.
All
how
this,
do you get through
right?
it if you're not laughing?
Exactly. Like, would be a comedy.
I like it.
But yes.
That could be a good movie. Okay. If you could have drinks or breakfast or something with anyone living or dead, who would it be?
I have so many answers to that.
Yeah.
It depends. There is the first person, and maybe because I was talking about this book earlier today, there's a guy, Don Miguel Ruiz, who wrote The Four Agreements, which I just think is a really powerful book that everybody should read. It's mystical, but it's really freaking powerful. And I'd love to have a conversation with him. I would have water or tea.
Water, tea, okay.
With Gandhi. Talk about passion.
Yeah.
Compassion and love. And who else?
Those are good ones.
Yeah, there are some others, like big players in the world that are doing really phenomenal things. So one of the things I really care about, like big picture, is creating and facilitating really crazy, unlikely conversations between like stakeholders that wouldn't ordinarily sit at the table. So there's a group out of DC called Convergence that's like having a huge impact both within government and within the United States, reimagining our education system, but bringing together people that normally wouldn't sit together to have those types of conversations. And so I really, for me, part of my premise is like part of what requires you to sit at the table is obviously loving and getting to know yourself, right? And being willing, because you'll notice where you get triggered. They've done a really wonderful job of creating this open, trusting space where you can be sitting across from somebody that you don't align with, that you don't agree with, and realize that just because you don't agree doesn't mean that you can't find things where you are wholly aligned. So I'm really... that's a place that I'm diving into, and I really want to understand that space even more.
Yeah. So there's some, so you would want to have someone, you would want to put people together in that space.
In that space.
Like those unlikely.
Right. Like big picture, like bring together leaders of the world and create different types of conversations.
Love it. That's amazing. Yeah. Wow.
That's anyways.
But that's amazing. I love that. Okay. If there was an airplane right outside the building, where would you want it to take you?
Ooh, I think this is because it's been on my mind recently. Two places. One is one of my favorite places in the world is outside of Victoria, Kowachin Valley. It's freaking amazing, gorgeous. But the first thing that came up, that's the next trip
yeah.
I'm planning and I really want to go. But I want to go to Taiwan and Vietnam. I haven't been there. And I've heard amazing things.
Yeah, so have I. So that's where we'll take you.
Yeah.
Yes. And it might be the one you said earlier. What's your favorite quote? I'm sure you can't. I can't pick just one. What is one of your all-time favorite quotes that you try to really live by every day and think about as much as possible?
I love the Carl Jung quote.
Yeah.
I also, in my practice, it is don't be judgmental, be curious.
I love that. I was talking about that with some, not that quote, but
yeah.
Judge. I keep having this, just maybe because my life's a little like, quote, unconventional right now with like living back and forth, whatever. And I feel like there's a way that people, that I have friends that ask out of curiosity and genuine, like, I want, this is great. Tell me more.
Yeah.
And then the way they ask just comes off completely judgmental. And it's interesting to see that.
Well, and so not only that judgment shuts them down from learning more.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
And I want nothing to do. Like, I don't really want to talk to them.
And then it doesn't facilitate a conversation.
Right.
It's not really a conversation.
Right.
It's more of a statement. And like for me, what I have found, which gets really hard, is when I've had really hard conversations, mm-hmm. either with somebody I'm working with.
Yeah.
And if I hear something that's triggering, right, instead of reacting, getting curious. What do you mean by that?
Yeah.
That is some of the hardest work that I have ever done.
That is like
being really triggered in that moment, noticing that I'm triggered, taking a deep breath and saying, okay, I'd like to hear more.
Yes.
And
tell me about that.
Really getting curious, right? And sometimes it is what you think it is,
mm-hmm.
but you are getting more information.
Mm-hmm.
And then like you feel your amygdala coming, like going off and you're like pulling attention. You're like, that's not true.
Right,
you know?
Right.
But like something that I did had that impact, and I'm not like I don't have to take full ownership over it, but I can look at what can I shift so that that doesn't happen. And sometimes it's not what I am hearing.
Exactly.
Like I'm hearing through a dirty lens through what somebody else said one other time and what they meant by it,
mm-hmm.
not necessarily what this person means by it. And it creates the space for a real conversation.
Exactly.
And for then being able to get to a resolution as opposed to my inadequacies and fears and all
exactly.
that shit.
Exactly.
Conversing with theirs, which will just get us nowhere.
I love that. Be curious. It's bottom line.
Curious.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I love that.
Get curious.
Yeah.
Get curious.
That's great. Okay. Before we fully wrap up, where can everyone follow you and find you and hire you or talk to you or whatever?
So yes, I have an Instagram account that needs more attention. I'm on LinkedIn.
Just your name.
Just my name. Yeah. Rachel Tenenbaum, spelled like the Royal Tenenbaums.
Yeah.
And my Instagram account is IAM_living_. And my website is www.iamliving.us.
Easy.
And you can reach me via phone at 404-840-2238.
I love that you give your number out.
Yeah. You might send me a text so that I actually pick up.
I feel like it's not some like telemarketer.
Right now. I'm getting so many calls.
Me too. It's like I put my phone on silent half the time because I can't.
So
it's all these
I just
random
either let it go to voicemail and I need to clear out my voicemail.
I know,
cache,
I'm bad
but
about
if
that.
You send me a text that says, hey, I'd love to connect, we can always set up a 15-minute call to say, hey, where are you at? Like,
I love
what are
that.
You wanting? And see how I can support you.
I love that. Okay, so everyone follow Rachel at all. I was going to repeat it back, usually I do, but I'm going to just put them in the show notes because I know it's iamliving.us. And Rachel Tenenbaum. But anyway, thank you so much for being here. This was such a great conversation. I kind of want to have you back. We'll have to pick another topic to cover.
Yeah.
But thank you so much.
Absolutely.
And you can always follow me at JulieLauren14 on all the things. I think that's it. Thank you all so much for listening. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hey, America, Christopher Hahn here, the Aggressive Progressive Podcast. What is with the president and the right-wing echo chamber encouraging these AstroTurf protests against stay-at-home orders around the country? It's ridiculous, and it needs to stop. Check out the Aggressive Progressive Podcast wherever you download podcasts.
I'm Royal Oaks. Next time on Too Many Lawyers, COVID continues to reshape the law. Supreme Court arguments will be held by teleconference. The justices won't even know if the lawyers are wearing pants, which is fair given the eternal mystery of what's under those black robes. Los Angeles County is springing 25% of its inmates. The sheriff suggests folks get ready for what might be a spike in crime. Check it all out on the next episode of Too Many Lawyers.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.